when wine is on trial. The gossip is dishy.
Hot goss.
The judges are drunk.
Wasted.
The verdicts are random.
So random.
This is True Crimes Against Wine.
It's like a little ventriloquist dummy.
Yes.
Which is the scariest of all the puppets.
Honestly, yes, they are the scariest. Then it's marionettes.
Then it's marionettes, for sure.
Hello. Welcome to another episode.
No, keep the accent going.
Welcome to another episode of
True Crimes
Against Wine, isn't it?
It.
We're feeling silly today.
Yes, we are.
So today we are going to revisit a region that we did last season.
Ooh.
That's a really, really fun region.
Okay.
It is Santa Barbara.
Ooh.
Which is about 50 miles north of LA and produces some really good French-style wines.
Ooh, la la.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. They started producing wine in the late 18th century, around like 1782, somewhere around there.
Damn, okay.
It was the monks that were doing it. They brought grapes from Mexico, actually, at first.
Interesting.
Yeah. So today we are also revisiting a varietal that is a very common varietal, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yes, we are.
Can't get enough of our Cabernet Sauvignon.
Can't get away from it.
And it's a screw cap today.
Perfect. Click, click, click.
Do you remember the name for screw caps?
Twisties.
Only in Australia.
Okay, well.
Oh, it's very fragrant. Mm. I can smell it from here. Stelvin closure.
Oh, yes. Also called twisties.
And the good thing about Stelvin enclosures is they're better for making sure that your wine does not end up corked.
Mm.
So.
Because there's no way for that to happen with a twist top.
Right.
Interesting. But yet there's still the snobbery that if it's not a cork, then it's not as nice of a bottle.
Yeah. That's thankfully kind of starting to die out and go away. It's really only like old school people who are like that now. All right.
All right. Well, let's cheers.
Cheers.
Let's sniff and taste. It does smell like Concord grape jelly to me.
It does?
It does. It has a very grapey fragrance.
I'll give that to you.
Okay.
I'm smelling more like cassis.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And some oak.
Oh. I still want you to sniff the oak tree in my front yard and see if that's the same.
Scratch and sniff?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anything is.
Are you scratch and sniff?
If you scratch me, I'm sure you'll get a smell. All right, can we taste?
Yes.
Okay.
Mmm.
Mmm.
Oh, it's rich.
Mm-hmm. Getting plum.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. One note, Rachel. That's what we call her.
Yep, because I only need one to get it done.
Yeah, definitely plum. Definitely the creme de cassis.
Okay.
It's not oak. It's like cedary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, fact checker. Check that fact.
Check that fact.
It's delicious.
Yeah. Mm. All right.
So, should we talk about the bottle?
Yeah, let's talk about the bottle.
So, this is vintage 2018.
Ooh.
Santa Barbara County, Neverland, Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yes, it is.
So, who is our celebrity defendant today?
Our celebrity defendant is J.M. Barrie, who wrote Peter Pan, where Neverland is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not Michael Jackson.
No. We'll talk about Michael Jackson, though.
Okay.
He does have ties to Peter Pan, actually. So we'll talk about it. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, we're going to talk about J.M. Barrie, which is fun. Another literary episode for us.
Yes. I love our literary episodes.
We can't get away from them. We can't stop ourselves, can we? Those are the English major nerds in us.
Yep.
Yeah. So did you, when you were researching this wine, did you see any reasons why they called it Neverland
wine
or anything like that? Okay. And the label's very plain, not like in that it's basic, but it's just like very straightforward.
Yeah.
Like kind of a textured white background and then just like the Neverland and Santa Barbara County, like that info on the front.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty straightforward looking bottle. Honestly, boyfriend and I picked it up at the store, at the liquor store, because it was just called Neverland. And I was like, oh, we could totally do that on a podcast.
Speaking of which,
yes.
Brief segue here.
Okay.
I am happy to announce that one of our ranks has been promoted.
Yes.
Boyfriend is no longer boyfriend. Boyfriend is fiancé.
Hey. you.
Congratulations to you.
Thank you.
The ring is beautiful, guys. It's sapphire with diamonds on either side. Yes. Very delicate, very you.
Thank you. I'm a delicate lady. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm probably still going to accidentally call him boyfriend on the podcast.
That's okay.
We all know who he
is. It's force of habit.
Yes. But yes, that's a recent big life event for me.
Yes.
And you and Fact Checker were there for it.
Well, sort of.
Yeah.
We were there for part of it.
You knew he was going to propose.
Yes.
You saw the ring and then called you all after he actually said the proposal. But yeah.
Very sweet.
Yes.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Yes, that's right. Well, you ready to switch gears to talk about J.M. Barrie?
Yes, let's talk about J.M. Barrie.
His life of romance and love. No.
Oh.
No.
Oh, sad.
He had kind of a bummer personal life.
Oh.
Oh. You ready?
Ready.
Okay. James Matthew Barrie.
Very staunch British name.
Yes. Was born May 9th, 1860. He was Scottish family.
I can never remember if he was Irish or Scottish.
He's Scottish. He was the 9th of 10 kids. Yeah.
Too many kids.
Into a strict Calvinist family.
Oh, God. I was raised in a strict Calvinist family.
Yeah.
So he was a member of the cult, too.
Yeah. His family did want him to go into the ministry, and he was just like, no, thank you. I'd rather write stories. Thanks, though.
Thanks, though.
Thank you, though. He was a very small boy, and he was a short adult man, too.
Oh.
He was only
a wee little guy.
Yeah, 5'3½".
Oh, my God. He was a wee little man.
Yeah, even for the 1800s, that's still short.
Yeah.
Well, I know people used to be shorter back in time. Like, if I time traveled, I would be a giant.
We could take over the world.
Could, honestly. Just stomp on all those little old-timey people and get my way.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he was a small man. When he was 6 years old, one of his older brothers, David, tragically died in an ice skating accident a day before David's 14th birthday.
Did he fall through the ice?
I think so. I think so. Either that or my biggest fear. He slipped and fell and someone came by and like cut him and he bled out. That's always my fear about ice skating.
Love that mine is drowning.
Well, I'm not going to go ice skating on a pond. I have enough sense
not
to do that.
I'm not either, but ice skating rinks, we've talked about this.
They're not that deep.
They're very, very deep. They're basically Olympic pools that they freeze over.
Yeah, that's economical. So little Barrie, J.M. Barrie, I'm just going to call him Barrie just because it's easier.
Okay, not James Matthew?
No. He started dressing in his older brother's clothes to comfort his mother.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, and he said it like at some point his mom would talk to him as if he were his oldest or the brother David and not as himself. He was a little creepy, in my opinion.
Sounds like mom had some issues.
Yeah, well, and his mom reportedly told him that she took comfort in the fact that David would remain a boy forever.
Oh, I'm seeing some
Peter Pan things happening. Yeah. Obviously, I'm not a parent. And I can't imagine the loss of a child, especially in such a horrible, tragic way.
But you had so many other ones.
Topher.
I'm just saying.
Well, and he wasn't the first kid in the family to die.
Yeah.
Two of the other siblings had already died before Barrie was born.
Oh, we'll see.
See, she should have been used to it by then. Was one more childhood death, right?
What makes David so special?
I don't know. Maybe he was like the favorite kid of the family. I don't know.
Well, you don't let your favorite kid go ice skating. That's pretty obvious.
The day before his birthday, you're asking for trouble.
Seriously.
I found that odd and creepy that as a six-year-old, he would be like, oh, I need to comfort my mom by wearing my dead brother's clothes and pretending to be him.
That's real creepy.
And keep in mind, he was super small, too. So he's not the average six-year-old. He's tiny.
He's like a little ventriloquist dummy.
Yes.
Which is the scariest of all the puppets.
Yeah, honestly, yes, they are the scariest. Then it's marionettes.
Then it's marionettes, for sure. I agree with this.
Yeah, and then hand puppets are just not scary.
I don't know. Punch and Judy are a little bit scary looking. It's the like, weird makeup.
Okay, that's fine. We can do old-timey hand puppets, specifically Punch and Judy shows.
And what about shadow puppets?
I don't find them inherently scary. They can be made to be scary, as a hand puppet could be.
Gotcha.
But I don't find, like, inherent creepiness to them, unlike ventriloquist dummies or marionettes.
Have you been to the puppet museum?
Yes. What kind of question is that?
Okay.
Yes.
Fair enough.
I did a high school project on puppets, Topher. Of course, I've been to the puppet museum.
That's on me.
Yeah. Take a drink. Rachel rolls. Take a drink. Yeah. So Barry grew older. He went to different boarding schools. Some of his oldest siblings, again, because he was like on the younger side of the family, were already adults and like teaching and tutoring at school. So he kind of went there to different places. So like his siblings kind of watch after him and he could get a good education. And he really got into acting and writing and like this idea of telling a story. He was like a storyteller. And he decided to go to University of Edinburgh to study literature. His family was like, no, be a minister. And he was like, maybe. Maybe. JK.
Is University of Edinburgh where you went?
No, it's not.
Where did you go?
I went to St. Andrews.
Oh, that's right. St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With the prince.
With the prince. Yes, the prince and I were dear close friends. My time there. So he got his degree in literature. And then he started working in newspapers after he graduated. And he started to write stories about Scotland at this time. Like these like romanticized versions of like stories his mom would tell him about her childhood growing up. And these became like super popular in newspapers.
Interesting.
Yeah, there was this whole movement at this time, which I did study when I was in St. Andrews and I took a class on like Scottish literature. It's called the Kailyard School Movement. Okay. Where it was like this over-idealized version of 1800s, early 1900s Scotland, where it's like, oh, this beautiful wilderness and everything's great and lovely and all this stuff.
Rigadoon.
Yeah, and mountains and Highland cows and the lochs and all this. And
Nessie.
Yes, but that's not really what industrialized Scotland was like. It's actually not that great for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Think of like Thomas Kincaid painting.
That's what I'm picturing, yeah.
That's what these stories were. A lot of pastels and soft lighting everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
He got his name out there doing that. And he started writing after that too, like some plays and books. He met an actress named Mary Ansell. And they got married in 1894. But
dun, dun.
They never consummated their marriage.
What?
Yes. Tell me your thoughts on that while I take a sip.
Was he asexual?
Topher's body has got a reaction to this fact.
Also, how do people know that they never consummated their marriage?
I think they both admitted to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of speculation about Barry's sexuality.
Okay.
Some of it was he gay and like he couldn't be openly gay? Because, you know, 1890s Great Britain. Was he asexual? What was his deal? But he and Mary never did it. We know that for sure.
Well, regardless, it sounds like he was afraid of the pussy.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm always curious. Was it just like the societal pressure to be married and have a family? And that was why he did it? Did he think that he would get over or get past something by then marrying a woman? Like, would that change how he felt about? I don't know. Or was it just like, hey, we get along really well and we know life is easier for married people. So let's do it.
Just a contract.
Maybe.
Between two people.
I think they were friends. Like they got along well, but they got divorced.
Ah, well, she wasn't having her needs met apparently.
No, so she started having an affair. So in the early 1900s, clearly this wasn't working for them. She started having an affair with a man 20 years younger than herself.
Oh, wow.
Because at this point, she would have been in her early 40s.
Okay.
And Barry was like, you have to stop. And she was like, no, I'm not going to. He's like, I will have to divorce you. Like, the people are going to know about it. And like, this will damage my reputation. I'm going to have to divorce you unless you stop sleeping with him. She's like, no. So they got divorced. I like
you're making her out to be this brat.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I won't.
I'm not going to do it. So they got divorced and the reason was infidelity on her part.
Wow.
But Barry ended up like paying her a little bit of alimony after that. Because they're still buddies.
Well, sounds like she owed him alimony.
Well, she didn't pay him. I don't know. But they had a little dog son together.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. They had a St. Bernard. After they got married, he got her this St. Bernard puppy. They named it Porthos, P-O-R-T-H-O-S.
Like from The Three Musketeers?
Mm-hmm. Isn't that cute?
That is cute.
And Barry would like walk around. They were living in London at this time. He would walk the dog around Kensington Park.
The dog would be bigger than him.
I know. Well, yeah, because he was a wee little man.
Wee little man.
Yeah. Yeah, he'd like walk the dog around, and then that's how he met the Llewellyn Davies. Do you know anything about them?
The only thing I know about them is from the movie Finding Neverland.
Okay, I was going to ask if you had seen that movie.
But it's been a really long time.
Okay.
So I'm picturing like single mom with a bunch
of
kids.
Who works two jobs.
Who works.
Who loves her kids and never stops. Yeah.
Yeah, she's
go back and listen to our Reba episode.
She was like a widow or something.
Yeah.
That's really all I know.
Yeah, you're on the
right. Up a friendship.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Exactly. So he, as he was like walking the dog around, he met some of the Llewellyn Davies kids. There were five boys in the family. George, John, sometimes called Jack, Peter, Michael, and Nicholas, or sometimes called Nico. I love that nickname for Nicholas.
Nico.
Yeah. So he'd like run into them in the park and like kind of became friendly with them. Which I imagine, like, you see a little man and a giant dog in the park. As a kid, you're like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That catches my eye. I'm going to go up and pet this big dog.
I'm going to pet this big dog and its puppet.
That's right. And then, yeah, then he became friends with the parents, the dad, Arthur, and the mom, Sylvia. Arthur was still alive at first.
Okay.
But Arthur died a couple years later, and he and Sylvia became closer after Arthur died. Now, there was a little bit of, like, speculation because he was friends with his family, friends more so with the mom than the dad. He was still married when he first met them, and like she was obviously still married because he hadn't died yet. So it was like, are they romantically involved? Is there some sort of relationship there? But that's like never been confirmed anywhere.
I mean, if he didn't even consummate his own marriage, yeah,
I don't think he was interested in women whatsoever.
Yeah.
Who knows if he's interested in anybody? I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they're just friends. And I think he really enjoyed the family. I mean, he came from a big family, so he must have liked that atmosphere of being around a bunch of kids. And I think that's why he liked being around this family. Mm-hmm. Probably felt, I don't know, familiar and homey and stuff to him. And he never had children of his own. Just Porthos. Yeah.
Listen, that's legit.
Yes.
Fur babies are babies.
We're both dog parents. We don't have any human, human children. All of our children are animals.
That we know of, anyway. Dun, dun, dun. Who knows how many children you've got out there that you don't know about, Rachel?
I just blacked out for entire pregnancies. Oh, no.
As you sowed your wild oats.
Oh, my goodness. Can I have some more wine, please?
No.
Oh, no. Tipper. Any new flavors on the wine?
The cassis is coming through more strongly to me. And the fruit quality seems to be changing. It was very lush plum at first, and now it's more of like a tart.
Oh.
Tart plum.
Hmm. Are you spilling on my table?
No.
Topher. Okay. That was a choice. Goodness. Well.
Oh, no. Is that why you asked for more wine?
No, not at all. Yes. I think it's time.
Okay.
Today we're going back to classic true false.
Oh, okay.
Okay. 10 questions.
All right.
Pick a number.
Let's go with 7.
Okay. J.M. Barrie.
James Matthew.
That's right.
If you're nasty.
Ooh.
And I am.
He wasn't.
Well.
Yeah. That we know of.
Mm.
J.M. Barrie forged Sylvia, the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia's will. True or false?
I'm going to go with true because I want it to be true.
Okay. Pick up your drink. Celebratory sip.
Yes.
He did.
Scandal. Why? What did he want money from her? What happened?
No. So when she died, she mentioned that she wanted her brothers and their wives to kind of like, she had cancer, so she knew she was going to go. Or she knew she was sick. I don't know if they knew what cancer was at that time.
Yeah.
There's no way to find out. She said she wanted her brothers and their families to take care of the 5 boys. And also Barrie, she wanted him to be involved too. Like the kids called him Uncle Jimmy.
Aww.
Like Uncle Jim. And the boys also had a nanny.
Who was a St. Bernard,
yeah. Named Nanny.
Nana.
So she also wanted the sister of their nanny, who was named Jenny, to also help out. He erased it, Jenny, and wrote Jimmy. So that he could have more of an involved role in the boys' lives.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy.
It kind of is.
It's really creepy.
Yeah. it serves Michael Jackson vibes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of speculation, again, about, like, why Barry was so attached to these children. And the kids, when they were older, said, like, no, of course, there's never anything untoward that happened. One of the boys, when he was an adult, said, like, I don't think anything stirred his undercarriage.
That's, yeah, the asexual vibes.
That's kind of the asexual vibes, yeah. And I truly don't think Barry did anything that crossed a line with any of the children. I think he just kind of wanted to be like a parental figure, and that was his way of doing it. But isn't that so shady?
That's very shady. But also, who was this Jenny character anyway?
Yeah, who's Jenny? Sounds fake.
Fake news.
Yes, you got it right. Your gut served you well. Yeah. All right, next number.
Scandal. Let's go with 5.
Okay.
Fact checkers being dramatic again.
Yes. All right, number 5. In the animated film, Tinkerbell was based off of Marilyn Monroe's Dimensions. True or false? Film came out in 1953, by the way, if you don't remember.
I mean, it sounds totally plausible, although I feel like she's a bit less busty and does have a tinier waist.
Who? Which one?
Tinkerbell.
Okay. I'll say Marilyn Monroe is known for being busty.
Yeah, Marilyn Monroe is known for being very busty. I'm going to say false.
Okay. Celebratory sip. That's kind of a common theory that's out there, but that's not true. The animators used actress Margaret Carey as like the model and recorded her movements for the animation of Tinkerbell.
Hmm.
But I do think Tinkerbell like does obviously have a smaller waist than like an adult human does.
Yeah.
It's Disney animated film.
It's because she's a fairy.
Right. All the other Disney animated princesses are totally normally proportioned.
Of course.
Of course. All right, next number.
3.
3. Again, I'm talking about the animated film. So the voice actor for Wendy was the same voice actor for Snow White. True or false?
False.
Okay. Any reasons why?
No.
Okay. Well, pick up your drink because... You're right. Celebratory sip.
Because that would be too far apart, right? She wouldn't still sound like a little girl at that point.
She didn't age.
No, she didn't.
No. Hmm. They froze her.
Cryogenically.
See?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I will give you a bonus point, though, because the voice actor for Wendy did do another famous Disney animated role, if you can tell me who that was.
Cinderella.
No.
I got nothing.
Alice in Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, that's right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. The back then, you know, they had contracts
mm-hmm.
with these different studios and stuff. And so Lady Tremaine, the evil stepmother from Cinderella, was in other Disney movies as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was in an episode of Beverly Hillbillies.
What?
Yeah, she plays the headmistress of the private school that Jethro goes to.
Oh.
And so it's so weird to see her in
her
person.
Physical body, yeah. Not just the
because
voice.
Because she is... Lady Tremaine from Cinderella.
Mm.
They took her features and everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Huh. All right, next number.
1.
Okay. In the original play, not the film, I'm talking about the play.
Okay.
Captain Hook narrates the events. True or false?
Ooh, that's a...
I'm
going to say true.
Okay. Just because?
Just because.
Okay. Pick up your drink. You're wrong. Captain Hook wasn't even in the original play.
Who's the antagonist in the original play?
Peter.
Really?
Yeah. Peter is much more of this kind of chaotic force. I mean, he is pretty chaotic anyway.
Yeah.
But much more chaotic and like morally ambiguous in the original play version. And Barry, it was interesting. Like he kind of continued to like change and alter the story as time went on. And made Peter a little bit more heroic and then created this antagonist of Captain Hook for Peter to fight.
So did the
and
play
like
come
pirates
before...
were like all the rage too at the time.
Gotcha. Did the play come before the book then?
Yes, it did.
Gotcha. Okay.
So Barry wrote the play and then wrote like the novelization of it a couple years later.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting. It doesn't usually work that way.
Nope. But that's how he did it. All right. Next number.
9.
9. So Barry added this idea of fairy dust to the story later on. Since we're talking about changes to the story, true or false?
Sure, we'll go with true.
Okay. Any reasons why?
It was meant to represent opium. I don't know.
Okay. Kind of a dark reason. Celebratory sip. He added it in for different reasons, though.
Mm.
Because kids kept thinking, oh, if I just believe hard enough, I can fly. Awesome. Oh, and hurting no. themselves.
Oh, no.
So he added in this like element.
Kids are so stupid.
I know, honestly. He added in the element of fairy dust later on to discourage kids from just, I believe,
jumping off their roof.
Like jumping off something.
Oh, my God. I do remember, though, as a kid, okay. jumping off things, especially on windy days, and being like, if I can be hard enough, flew. I can fly.
Yeah. Or like, didn't you like delude yourself to be like, I totally flew for like 3 seconds there.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was a kid, like little kid, like 4 or 5 years old, I had a friend in my neighborhood a few houses down who had a bottle of Tinkerbell's fairy dust that she'd gotten at Disneyland. It was just glitter.
Mm-hmm.
I really believed that if I got my hands on that, I could fly. So what I did one day was when I was playing at her home, I took the bottle and stole it.
You stole her fairy dust?
I did. And then I got home and I felt real guilty about it. Told my parents, who made me walk back to her house to return it to her.
What'd you do? You just knock on the door and be like, I stole your fairy dust.
Yeah, basically. I was like, I took this. I'm sorry.
Was she cool about it?
I don't really remember if we played after that. Also, to be fair, I think I was a little on the young side to be transporting myself back and forth unsupervised. I think my parents should have been there to ensure that I did not steal anything.
I love that you're blaming your parents for this.
Yes. They were the adults.
That's so funny. You think it's kind of counterintuitive that Disney would give out pixie dust then, if the whole reason that the pixie dust was created.
Disney doesn't care. They're just trying to make a buck.
Clearly.
And I'm sure there was a warning on the bottom of the bottle. It's like, this isn't real. You can't actually fly. But I was 5. Could I have read that? No.
Yeah, you couldn't read when you were 5.
Yeah, and then I learned. Definitely.
That's not just scribbles and hieroglyphics on your notebook right now.
Just a bunch of drawings. All right, next number.
Let's do 10.
Ooh, so Peter Pan ended up being Walt Disney's favorite animated movie that he ever made. True or false?
I'm going to go with true.
Okay.
Because Tinkerbell was always in the classic beginnings.
Oh, where she like flies over and does her little dink and
yeah,
then things light up.
Yeah, on the Cinderella castle. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, pick a drink. Wrong.
Oh, what was his favorite?
I don't know. I just totally made this
so
up.
Anticlimactic.
I'm sure fact checker can Google it. He did like the Peter Pan story a lot. He was just a little underwhelmed with the final version of the film.
Mm-hmm.
He thought that the character of Peter was like a little too cold and not, I guess, charismatic enough. But he did really like the play Peter Pan, and he even played Peter in like a high school or school version of Peter Pan.
Interesting.
When he was a child. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Next number.
8.
8. Okay. So in the story, you know, there's Peter and the Lost Boys, right? Sounds familiar to you?
Yes.
Okay. The Lost Boys never grow old as long as they stay on Neverland. Or in Neverland. True or false?
Okay, see, this is tricky.
Okay.
Because I've heard a theory.
Okay.
That they do grow old and Peter Pan kills them off when they grow old.
Mm-hmm.
Or that that's where the pirates come from.
Okay.
If they escape. And that's the reason why Captain Hook is so anti-Peter Pan.
Because he used to be a lost boy.
Yeah. And was going to be killed off if he grew up.
All right, so is this true or not?
So I'm going to go false.
Okay. Celebratory sip.
Yes.
Yeah, Peter totally murders them. Yeah, he does. That's like in the book. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I thought it was just like a theory.
No.
I've never actually read the book.
Neither have I. I mean, I'm sure it's more of implied than like, and here's a paragraph about how Peter stabs them when they get too old. But yeah, so the Lost Boys, their aging is slowed down, obviously, because magic. But unlike Peter, they will eventually grow old. So Peter does just kill them.
Oh my God. I snorted vodka all over my glasses.
Your mineral water?
My mineral water.
Now, in the ending of the book, Peter Pan, when the darling children return to their home, they do bring the Lost Boys with them.
Good.
And the family ends up adopting the Lost Boys so that Peter can't murder them.
Yeah.
But he gets more kids and goes back to Neverland because the cycle continues.
Kind of like makes Captain Hook the good guy.
I mean, honestly... As opposed to this weird flying child who never grows old who will kidnap real human being children?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. That's not good, Peter.
Now I want to see like a really dark version of Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Or should we say an accurate version?
That's right. Historically accurate version of Peter Pan.
Yes.
All right. You got a few more.
I just did 8.
Mm-hmm. You have 2, 4, 6.
Let's do 2.
Okay. So J.M. Barrie actually read some of his stories to the princesses Elizabeth and Margaret before Elizabeth became queen. True or false?
What year was he born?
1860.
False.
Okay. Any reasons?
He'd be too old. He couldn't see
anymore. We know you forget how to read on your
own. His cataracts.
Oh, no. Oh. Do you think he had like his guide dog, Porthos?
Oh. Porthos at this point, Porthos like the 5th?
Oh, no. Porthos kept living forever.
Oh, okay. Is Porthos Peter Pan?
Maybe. So you're saying false?
I'm saying false.
All right. Celebratory sip. No, wait. You're wrong. I got it. I got myself goofed up.
He did read them?
He did read to them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, when they were very little, because Margaret was only like 3 at this time, he did go to the palace and read them stories.
Was he invited or did he just go?
He just went. He was just on one of his walks.
He was like, I can fit underneath the door. I'm a wee little man. Wee little man.
Here I go. No, and Margaret, she was like 3 or 4 at the time. She was quoted as saying, he is my greatest friend and I am his greatest friend.
Oh.
Isn't that sweet?
That is very sweet.
I mean, wouldn't you as a little child have been stoked if somebody who wrote a story that like, you really like showed up to your house to like read it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, this is why I'm getting a lot of Ace vibes.
Mm-hmm. And let's be clear too. You can be an adult man who's just kind to children without any... Topher!
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You can be a very, like, paternal figure without having your own children.
Yeah.
And, like, just enjoy, like, being around kids and things like that. I think we're just very conditioned to, like...
Also, it's the exception rather than the rule that I like children. I like my niece and nephew, and I like my godniece.
You have children you like, yeah. In general, you're not a fan of children.
In general, I'm just kind of...
Prefer dogs.
Yeah.
Now, dogs, cats, children, or dogs, children, cats? Where do we fall?
You know, I don't have enough experience with cats to make a set decision like that.
Okay.
We were never a cat family growing up.
Mm.
I tend to be the only cat. I'm an only cat kind of person.
Yeah, okay. Okay. You do get very cat vibes with your personality.
Yeah. I do enjoy knocking things off of surfaces.
I mean, it's bad.
I like to bully the people that I love the most.
That's true. All right. Oops, I accidentally gave you credit for that one. You got it wrong.
Damn it.
2 more, 4 or 6?
4.
All right. Fact checker, can you please pull up a photo of J.K. Simmons?
I know J.K. Simmons.
Do you?
Isn't he in one of those insurance commercials?
Yeah. Okay. Not where I thought you'd know him from.
Yeah.
Okay. He is one of the many actors who has played Mr. Darling / Captain Hook. True or false?
I'm not aware of him playing Mr. Darling / Captain Hook.
Oh.
I'm going to say false.
I'm just throwing you off.
But I've not seen all the adaptations of Peter Pan either.
Well, you didn't do your homework for this episode, I guess.
Well, I'm not supposed to. I'm going to say false.
Okay. Wrong. Take a drink.
He has.
He has. In the 1991 Broadway adaptation of Peter Pan.
Oh, I was thinking of a film.
Well, you forgot about theater.
I did forget about the theater.
Theater. All right, last question.
6.
Yep, that's the last one. This is a fun one.
Okay.
J.M. Barrie invented the name Wendy. True or false? You thought you knew, but now you're doubting yourself.
You know, previous to Peter Pan, I've never seen anybody in history whose name was Wendy.
That's right. Are you thinking about Wendy's, the restaurant now, and your tummy getting hungry?
Nom, 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 nom.
You want some spicy chicken nuggies?
I do. Oh, I actually really do.
See? Yeah.
Or is Wendy just short for Gwendolyn?
I don't know.
No, I do surely know. He didn't.
Or did he?
Or did he?
Hmm.
Can I phone a friend?
No.
Can I ask the audience?
Sure. Ask all the people who are here listening to this live recording.
Nobody's calling in.
Okay.
Oh, false.
All right. Pick up your drink.
I'm so torn.
Celebratory Seth.
Oh my God. Is it short for Gwendolyn?
Yes, but we're going to talk about it. So Gwendolyn is a traditional Welsh name.
It's a what Welsh name?
Traditional.
Mm-hmm.
I said it right the first time. No need to play back. And Wendy could be like a nickname for Gwendolyn. So you're on the right track there. However, that really wasn't very popularized. And Jan Barry had a friend whose little girl would call Barry his or her friendy, but she couldn't say her R's really well. So
Wendy.
So that was kind of where he took the inspiration for the name Wendy from.
That's really cute.
So he did not invent the name Wendy, but he really popularized the name Wendy.
Yeah.
Outside of Wales. Let's be fair to the Welsh, I guess.
That's cute. I also really love the name Gwendolyn.
Yeah, me too. I like Gwendolyn a lot.
Wouldn't it be cute to have a St. Bernard whose name was Gwendolyn and you'd call her Wendy?
Yes, I love it. So you did real well. 6 out of 10, Topher.
Yes.
Pretty good.
Still a failing grade, but...
Hey, you got the majority. That's all that matters. Yeah, so let's talk about the Peter Pan story and the Neverland story.
Okay.
I wanted to save that for after the cross-examination.
Okay.
So did you watch the movie Peter Pan as a kid? Like, was that
like the animated?
Of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for yeah. sure. Some problematic as fuck moments in mm-hmm. that movie, especially as it deals with indigenous people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Savages, and also What Makes the Red Man Red.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you watched it recently?
I saw a clip recently, and I was just like, oh gosh, I can't even like finish watching this clip. And it was somebody using a clip from it to talk about like why it's problematic. But I was like, I can't even get through this. Mm-hmm. This is just very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Barry had those elements in the story, the original story.
Well, he's a Scottish person writing about American indigenous people during a time when American indigenous people were being exploited the fuck out of.
Yeah. And this is, so he wrote the play Peter Pan, I want to say 1902. And then the book was 1911. Or sorry, no, I'm so sorry, Topher. I messed up with my dates. Can you fill me up so I can take a drink of champagne, please? So he wrote a book called The Little White Bird in 1902, in which Peter Pan as a character first shows up.
Oh, interesting.
Thank you. And Peter Pan was a baby who got carried away by fairies and just learned to fly from there on out. Because that's the thing. He didn't write the play until 1904 and then the novel Peter and Wendy in 1911. So we're talking like early 1900s, coming off of this exploitation of the American West, like really mm-hmm. killing off this indigenous population. But also this was really too when like this romanticized version of the Wild West was
right.
emerging in popular culture. So yeah, so somebody like across an ocean and like consuming that sort of media about the American West, I get why he would have included
yeah.
that and wrote about it the way he did. Now, is it still racist? Yes.
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 100%. Yeah. And fast forwarding to the time period when Disney was doing
yeah.
it, should they have known better? Yes.
Yes. Well, think about the 1950s, too. That's when we had all these Western movies being made. So, again, kind of like this resurgence of romanticizing like the Wild West and portraying indigenous people as like the savages. So should have known better.
Yeah, you can defend it all you want,
I'm
Rachel.
I'm not defending it. Like my voice got real high there. Totally innocent. Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of misogyny in Peter Pan, too.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. So when Peter first comes to the Darling household and he's like spying on the kids through the window, it's because Mrs. Darling is like reading her children bedtime stories and he's like, oh, that'd be so nice. And then he loses his shadow and Wendy sews it back to him, like onto him and all that. And then he takes the kids to Neverland. He takes them with the intention of the boys being new lost boys and kind of like joining in the fun
and Wendy being the mom.
Yes. Yeah. And he, like, literally says, you can be the mom of everybody. And she's, like, the same age. Like, she's a kid.
Because he wants a mother.
She's a child.
He's a child, too. He doesn't know any better.
He's an irresponsible boy.
He's a gross boy with cooties.
Yes. Well, and the whole thing is Wendy's going to be everybody's mom. But she starts to fall in love with him. And she asks him, like, how do you feel about me? Do you like me? Check yes or no. And he checks, I love you like a son loves his mom, which devastates her. And she's like, I want to go.
Doesn't she ask for a kiss and he gives her like an acorn or a thimble or something?
Yeah. Well, she has a little acorn necklace and all of this. So it's really sad that like she's just being relegated to like, oh, you just do the woman things and take care of all the boys who are having these fun adventures.
As it should be.
Topher. Mm-mm-mm. Take a drink.
Now, what is your favorite adaptation of Peter Pan and why is it Hook?
Yes, I was going to say Hook. It's Hook. First of all, well, Hook actually plays into the story of Peter and Wendy really accurately at the beginning, because when Wendy and her brothers do go back and they take the Lost Boys, thank God they weren't slaughtered by Peter again. Jesus.
Jeez.
She grows up. She gets married. She has a daughter. Peter comes and visits the daughter. And then the daughter grows up and has her own daughter. And Peter visits her. So the story of Hook, of Peter deciding to marry, was it the granddaughter at that point? That has a basis in the actual book, Peter Pan. Like, he won't leave this fucking family alone. He's a stalker, basically.
Here's my biggest issue with Hook.
Okay.
Maggie Smith plays the grandmother.
We all know.
No, I love her.
I know you love Maggie Smith. She's the best.
She is ancient and decrepit in this movie.
Yes.
That was made in the early 90s.
Yes.
She looks exactly the same. How long has she been like 90 years old?
So Maggie
Smith. Is she a lost boy?
Yes. Like, but for old people.
But for old people.
So Maggie Smith is one of those actors who you cannot picture young, like Ian McKellen. Or like, they're just always old person.
Although, have you seen Ian McKellen when
you see Yes. He's have hot. You seen a young Maggie Smith?
She's hot.
Yeah, I know. But they went from like normal aging to like being in their 40s to suddenly just being like old for decades and looking the same sort of old for decades.
Which, good for her for finding her niche, too.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember watching that movie as a kid and being like, she's so old. And then thinking as an adult, I'm going to rewatch this movie because she can't have been that old.
She wasn't that old.
But she looks so old. Well,
there's also something called makeup and costuming.
Yeah, but they don't have prosthetics and stuff they're putting on her.
You don't know. She insisted on a prosthetic butt. They're like, it's not going to be on film, Maggie. She's like, no, they must see how saggy it's gotten over the years.
She's a method actor.
Yes. So. Yeah. Oh. Do you remember who played the young Wendy?
Yes, I do. Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, your dear friend.
My dearest friend.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
The goopiest of my friends.
She is the goopiest. That was her second ever film role.
Interesting.
Did you know that they made Robin Williams shave himself, his body, not just his face, play Peter Pan?
Interesting.
He was, R.I.P. He was a very hairy, he had a very visible forearm and hair on his hands and all that.
Do you remember the scene at the beginning with the boo-boo box?
No.
Where there's the pirates.
Oh, yes.
They throw in the boo-boo box. Yes. Do you know who that was?
Glenn Close.
It was Glenn Close.
It's one of my favorite little facts.
Such a weird like cameo moment that has nothing to do with the plot.
No. Was just like, I'm just going to play one of the pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, fun thing about that, you know, the couple kissing on the bridge in the film?
Oh, when the pixie dust comes down?
Mm-hmm. It's George Lucas and Carrie Fisher.
Oh, how funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, George Lucas is friends with Steven Spielberg and
all
them. It was actually, Steven Spielberg was not like super thrilled with how that film came out.
Really?
Yeah.
It's such a like integral part of my childhood.
Yes. The scene where they're imagining the food.
And then it turns into the food fight, the real food fight.
Didn't you try to do that yourself? Oh. Like if I just imagined it went,
Also, is there anything more iconic than Rufio? I love that you knew exactly where I was going with that.
That is the line from the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the toys from that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Were they like McDonald's toys or like
real toys
from the toy store?
They were like toy store toys, like play sets. There was one, it had the skate thing that Rufio would come down.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There was one that had the crocodile clock tower and you'd flip a switch and it would like go down.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were fancy.
Yeah. I had some good toys when I was a kid.
Okay. We should do a toy sidebar at some point.
We should.
Favorite childhood toy.
I agree.
You agree. Yeah. So let's talk about how Barry created the story of Peter Pan.
Okay.
So he first created the character in that book, The Little White Bird, and he would apparently tell the Llewyn Davies kids that their younger brother, so he would tell like the older boys, like, oh, your little baby brother is going to fly away. And that's how babies know how to fly. But then you forget to fly as you get older and da 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 da. So that was kind of like where this thing of like Peter Pan being able to fly came from. And the Lost Boys were like all these babies that like accidentally like fallen out of like their prams, flew away. Mm-hmm. And somehow Peter grabbed them to later kill.
to harvest.
Yeah. Well, and pirates were a big thing at this time, too. Like, again, this very romanticized version of, like, what it meant to be a pirate. And here's where Barry gets creepy again. Sorry.
Damn it.
He put together a photo album of the boys where they're dressed up as the boy castaways of Black Lake Island. And they're, like, kind of dressed as pirates and things like that. And he gave it to their parents. But I'm like, that's weird, right?
Is it?
Would you put together a photo album for a child who is not related to you?
For like my god niece?
Dressing up your child in all these different scenarios and then presenting it to their parents?
I would totally do that for my god niece.
Okay.
Would
you tell her parents you were doing this or would you just do it? Because I could see myself doing
it as a surprise. And the parents would actually be like, this is hilarious. We love this.
Okay. I find it a little creepy.
Well, you just don't know how to have fun.
Oh, I guess not. So he had two copies of this made. He gave it to the dad who then left it on a train, which I wonder if that was intentional. So there's only one surviving copy of this.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he kind of made the character of Peter Pan to amuse these boys. Like, and he kind of used like bits of all their personality and stuff in it. The oldest of the boys died in World War One, fighting in World War One. So shortly, yeah, that's true. World War One's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly after like the play and book had been published, the oldest went off and died in the war. George died, who's the oldest. Michael, who's the next oldest, drowned like a month before his 21st birthday with a friend of his.
Jesus.
There's some speculation that Michael and his friend were lovers and they made like a suicide pact because they couldn't be openly together during this time. I don't know.
There's a lot of sexual scandal.
I know. But he died. And then the boy Peter, several decades later, committed suicide.
Oh my God.
In 1960 by jumping in front of a train in the London Underground. Yeah.
That is a ballsy way to commit suicide.
Awful way to die. And so traumatic for everybody else.
Yeah.
Was Barry cursed?
Maybe.
Was he another Edgar Allan Poe?
Maybe.
But the other two boys lived, I guess, until they eventually died because they'd be dead by now. Or super old.
They're just super old.
Super old. So when J.M. Barry passed away, he left the bulk of his estate to his secretary.
Okay. Male or female?
Female.
Okay.
Who was like helping him with his works. But he also left some money to his ex-wife. So I think they were genuinely friends.
Yeah.
Or at least he wanted to be her friend. I don't know how she felt. And she's like, no, just give me your money with my younger man now.
My 20 years younger man.
Yeah. And then he did leave some money to the surviving Davies boys too.
Nice.
Yeah. It's interesting that the rights to Peter Pan are not owned by a person.
They're owned by a Yeti.
Yeah, they are. And that's where we get the Yeti water bottles from today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Which famously can fly.
Famously can fly. No, he gave the copyright to the Great Ormond Street Hospital, which is a children's hospital.
Oh.
So when Disney went to go make the movie version of Peter Pan, they had to get permission from the hospital to do that.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, but the original deal did not include like any merchandise.
That's where they get you.
That's where they got you. But then the hospital's been like, no, Disney's like paid us like $10 million over the years for like merchandise. But I'm like, that's a drop in the bucket.
That is a drop in the bucket.
But also they have the NHS in Great Britain. So do they really need it?
Right.
Right. I mean, that's what the king is paying for now, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. They have a king now.
Ugh. Well, he may not be king for long. We'll see.
Decapitation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His head's going to fall off.
That'll get you.
Well, every time. Can't live very long without a head.
I almost wore my guillotine earring today.
Oh, interesting.
But I went with houndstooth on houndstooth on houndstooth instead.
In honor of Porthos the Hound.
St. Bernard.
He's still a doggy.
Doggo.
Yeah, there's a really cute picture of Porthos. Like St. Bernards, I guess, in like the 1900s don't look like St. Bernards today.
Really?
They're a little more angular.
Interesting.
Or at least he was.
Was it just the way they groomed them, you think?
I don't think you can groom like a snout into. Yeah, you see him?
Oh, he's so cute.
Look how big he is compared to Barry.
Yeah, that's adorable.
It is.
He could ride that dog.
Do you think he ever put a saddle on him?
Probably.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Yes.
So how does Michael Jackson fit into all of this?
Okay, so let's talk about Michael Jackson. And we're going to talk about Steven Spielberg and Hook again.
Okay.
So originally, Spielberg had reached out to Michael Jackson in the 80s and said that, like, hey, I want you to play an adult version of Peter Pan. I'm going to make this film. I want you to be the adult Woo-hoo. Peter Pan. Are you doing DuckTales? Are we doing Michael Jackson?
Both.
Okay. So Michael Jackson agreed, but then he later said, well, I don't really want to play a grown-up version of Peter Pan because Peter Pan's whole deal is that he never grows old. So it was eventually tabled. The movie, like, stuff was put on hold anyway. And then Robin Williams obviously took on the role and the movie came out in 91, I want to say, or 92, like, very early 90s. Okay. Anyway, and by that time, Michael Jackson started to get a little nutty and off the rails.
No.
Yes. So Michael Jackson famously named his home/amusement park.
Neverland.
Ranch. Make it old-timey Western.
Yeah. Pew.
And Michael Jackson would also have these relationships with children that were on the surface supposed to be very innocent, but many of the children came out later and said that he sexually abused them. So that's where it's just like the adult man wanting to be like friends with kids. Like that's where I think people are like, ooh, what are your intentions? Because that doesn't seem right to me. And I think like that has maybe fueled some more speculation about like Barry. What are your thoughts on Michael Jackson?
As to whether or not he was a pedophile?
Well,
Yeah. You can't argue with the number of people who came out and said,
right,
this happened to me. I mean,
right. I also think, I mean, it's been documented that Michael Jackson was severely abused as a child as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. His father was awful, would like beat him and the other siblings and stuff. I don't know if there's any like sexual abuse he endured as a kid. I think maybe that's where Michael Jackson's interest in Peter Pan came in, to like kind of have this innocence and childhood that he didn't really get to experience. Yeah.
I do think that he was mentally ill as well.
Yeah.
But that doesn't take away from the fact that he victimized people.
Oh, of course not. Yeah. I mean, many things can be true about a person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and just, I don't know. It's just, he's just creepy.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you my Michael Jackson story?
No!
So, when I was a kid, I was like, in like first grade or something. Okay. And I was on the school bus. Not the school bus. I was in a carpool. Okay. I didn't have a school bus. I don't know where that came from.
Just telling stories just now.
Telling lies now. I was in the carpool and one of the older kids in the carpool was like, well, you know who Santa Claus really is, right? And I was like, no, who? And she was like, well, I can't tell you if you don't know. And I came home crying and told my mom, and she was like, well, who do you think that Santa Claus is? And I said, I'm scared it's going to be Michael Jackson.
Oh, no.
Because I was terrified of Michael Jackson.
Well, you knew. Your gut was telling you.
There was something about him that, like, as a, like, six-year-old, scared the shit out of me anytime I see an image of him.
Yeah. Well, even in the early 90s, there were rumors and stories that he was a pedophile. Like that was, had already been established. And a lot of the initial trial didn't come out to the mid to late 90s, right? The first one where he was acquitted, and then there are subsequent things that came out, and then the documentaries. Like, yeah, I think we all picked up on the creepy vibe for Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Very early on. Even though his music was a big part of my childhood growing up. That was what you heard on radio stations all the time. Mm-hmm. Because of course he's like a super artist. You can't not know Michael Jackson songs if you grew up in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
But we all knew he was a creep.
So weird to me.
Yeah.
It's just, what a weird time.
Well, I think the weird combination of him trying to recreate or create for the first time this weird child, like this idyllic childhood that he never had with all the Neverland stuff, combined with having so much money that like nobody ever says no to you.
Right.
So you got to do weird things like get a chimp and name him Bubbles, which you should not have a chimp as a pet.
No. They get vicious.
Yes.
They tear people's faces
they
off.
They will, yeah. Fiance does not like chimps.
Fiance does not like chimps?
He does not like chimps.
Just has a very healthy distrust.
Yes. I like chimps from a distance. But I'm not going to touch one, let alone have one as a pet. I know better.
How does fiance feel about orangutans?
Oh, loves them. They're adorable and they do no wrong. They're so cute. They're very gentle.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Bonobos are very gentle too. They're like a smaller chimp. Well, and they're very sexual too, fact checker. We all know that.
What about baboons?
No, aggressive. Baboons?
Baboons. Baboons.
Yeah, baboons are very aggressive. No thanks. Mm-mm. Gorillas love gentle giants.
No, they can get aggressive too.
Yeah, but I'm not going to go up and like mess with a gorilla. Will I learn a few signs so I can talk to a gorilla and tell him it's beautiful? Yes.
Do you remember that movie from the 90s, Born to be Wild, where the teenager kidnaps the gorilla because it's going to be sold off to like poachers or something?
No, but it sounds like such a 90s movie plot.
And they take a road trip together.
Oh.
And to go to the wildlife sanctuary. Mm.
That is a very weird looking man in a gorilla costume on the cover of that poster.
But they sign to each other.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
They sign to each other.
Yeah. Do you remember Coco, the gorilla who had her pet kitten?
No.
Oh my God. Yes. Fact checker, Google that. She was a gorilla in like a zoo or sanctuary who learned how to sign and they gave her a pet kitten. And she loved that kitten so much.
That's so cute.
Yes.
Did you ever watch the movie Return to Me with Minnie Driver?
No.
I think it's David Duchovny that's in it as well. And his wife, who's played by Jolie Richardson.
Okay.
Jolie Richardson. Oh, it's the kitty.
Yeah, Coco loved that kitten.
Coco loved the kitten.
She's going to hug it. Yeah.
Love
that. It's real cute.
Anyway, she is a zoo architect who creates like habitats. Mm-hmm. And so she's created this gorilla habitat. And it's
full of kittens.
It's really cute. Aww. Well, she ends up dying in a car accident.
Oh my God.
And her heart goes to Minnie Driver.
To a gorilla?
No, to Minnie. Well, are you calling Minnie Driver a gorilla?
No, but she could play a gorilla if she wanted to. She has the range.
No, she gets the heart.
Aww.
And then she ends up meeting David Duchovny in a meet cute and they fall in love. But then she finds out that she has his dead wife's heart and it's this whole thing.
Wouldn't that be a whole thing?
It's such a good movie. You need to watch it. It's like peak 90s rom-com.
Thrown in with dead wife, dies tragically.
Yeah. Well, it happens like in the first 5 minutes.
Okay, so we're not invested in her character, really.
No.
She's just a plot device.
Yeah.
Okay. If fact checker tragically died and somebody took his heart, I mean, like legally, not
just like grabbed it off the street.
Like he donated it all, and then you.
Like some guy walks up in a trench coat. He's like, you want to buy a heart?
Yeah, exactly. And you then met the person, like you're starting to like, okay, I can get out there. I can date again. And you meet and you fall in love with this new person, but then you find out it's fact checker's heart. Would you be weirded out by that or no?
I think I'd be more weirded out by the universe, like putting us together than anything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm a big like, oh, the universe did this, but that's such a coincidence.
Would you be able to still maintain a relationship with this new person or would you be like, yeah, that's too weird. I can't.
Oh no, I could. How hot is this new person?
Not hot.
Wait, first of all, I'm not dating.
But they have a good heart.
I'm not dating after fact checker dies.
No?
No.
Oh.
Hookups only.
Okay, what if every hookup had a different organ from fact checker? What then?
Then this is an episode of Criminal Minds.
It was like hookup after hookup. They're like, yeah, I just got a liver transplant like a month ago.
I got somebody's pancreas. And then you're like,
from fact checker? And they're like, yeah, actually, how'd you know? You're like, he was my husband. And then the next person, you're like, oh, he has these really beautiful brown eyes. Oh, my God. They're fact checker's eyes. They're like, yeah, I had an eye transplant.
Joke's on you. Fact checker has Betty Davis eyes.
Okay. Although, did we just write a new rom-com?
Literally has Betty Davis eyes.
Stole them from Betty Davis?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then they can go on to the next person. Never-ending eyes.
They'll never get cataracts. It's fine.
It's fine. Well, you put them in a new body and they, like, reboot.
Yeah.
It's like when your computer gets overheated and it's like, I don't know what to do. You just turn it off. and give it a couple minutes to die and then turn it back on. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we have a new plot, though, for a rom-com. What's it called? Transplanted organs.
No small parts.
There we go. Love it.
Because Fact Checker is in doubt.
Okay. You know, that doesn't get transplanted, unfortunately.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's the part that I miss the most.
But the last hookup in this version has Fact Checker's heart. And you're like, you've stolen my heart now. Because then you fall in love with that last person.
Yeah, yeah, I get it. I get it.
Get it?
I get it.
I think we just made $1 billion.
Nobody steal this idea.
Or you do the work. Just give us some of the money from it.
That's like fine. Most of the money.
Yeah, that's fine. 51%.
I own 51% of this company.
That's right. Well.
Well.
Are we ready?
Who are we putting on trial? Michael Jackson?
Oh, guilty.
For sure.
For sure. Jan Barry, Peter Pan.
Peter Pan is guilty as well.
Yeah. Crocodile.
Crocodile, acquit.
He just wanted a snack.
He just wanted a snack. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time.
It's not his fault he got a taste for human flesh.
Yeah. Honestly.
Not his fault.
I feel like Peter Pan owes him. What do you, like, not grievances. What do you call it?
Gratuity. Reparations.
Reparations.
Okay.
Yeah.
For how? What would that look for a crocodile? Or was he an alligator? No, he was a crocodile.
No, never smile at a crocodile. Never tip your hat and try to stay a while.
Your stomach noises are just undermining the seriousness of your singing. All right, let's just put Barry on trial.
Okay.
All right, we're ready?
Ready.
One.
Two.
Three.
Not guilty.
I was going to say hung jury.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I wasn't there. There's been no documentation of him being overtly creepy, but I just get a little bit of a creepy vibe from him.
Okay.
The fact that he changed the will.
Okay. I forgot about that.
Super creepy.
I did forget about that. Mm-hmm. So we'll say hung jury.
Okay. The wine, though?
Not guilty for sure.
Really great wine.
Delicious Neverland wine.
Yeah, and this is only like $20, $25 at the liquor store.
It makes me believe that I can fly.
Do it. You can. I believe.
Let's
everybody
go
up
to
clap.
The roof tonight.
Yeah, it's not that tall. I have a one-story house. It'll be fine. There's some pines where you can fall into. Work. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
I sure did.
Yep, we sure did. If you have any ideas for celebrities or wines, let us know. You can reach us at
True Crimes Against Wine, TikTok and Gmail,
Instagram and Facebook.
That's right.
Okay.
We check all of them.
We do.
Regularly.
Yeah, you do.
And we will send you some swag.
We will absolutely send you some swag. That's our promise to you.
Yep.
All right. Cheers.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh.